This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعكم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وبعد. Respected brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله, it's a privilege and honor to be here at Hamim Foundation at the monthly halqa once again. I've been here before. Three times, as far as, maybe four, but three I can remember. So this might be the fourth or the fifth time, maybe the fifth time. But it's been a while since the last time I think I visited. I was talking to Brother Faisal here and he said it's been over 2 years, because previously I was at the other location. So which means that it must be over 2 years. We have a very important topic that I want to discuss, and a lot of these things are actually very important, and I've actually put them into points that I want to share with you. I wanted to talk about this in one lecture or one program. I've talked about these topics or points separately, but never together. So just today I thought I'll put these points down as a reminder for myself and everyone else, inshallah ta'ala. This whole issue of social media trap, that's the topic heading. We, subhanallah, we are living in an era, in a time that we've come across two revolutions. Normally people, if they saw one revolution in their life, that's something big. Majority of us, except the very young, but majority of us, we've experienced two revolutions in our life. What's a revolution? Revolution is like a major change in the world. Two revolutions. The first one is the actual advent of the internet, online. I'm sure people are old enough to remember the time when we had no internet. In the 80s and even the 90s. I mean, it started around the 80s, but properly daily usage every day in people's homes was probably in the mid-90s, if I remember correctly. I remember the first time I actually knew what an email was in 2002. I made my first email account while studying in Syria. I was studying in Syria in 2002. It's 18 years ago. Before that, we used to always just call home or write a letter. Before that, I was studying in Pakistan and I used to, you know, write a letter home. And then my father used to write a letter back. So in Syria, I remember that my sister, who was in the UK, she made an email and then she told me over the phone that make an email. So if there's anything, just write, send an email. And then we'll pass the message on to the rest of the family members. So we used to go to an internet cafe and made my first email. And this is at, like normally at was, I'm, you know, at 4 o'clock or at 5 o'clock. This is the first time using it, at something.com. So this was the first major revolution in our lives. And then the second revolution, what's the second revolution?
Social media.
No, this, what we've got in our hands. Smartphones, Android and iPhones, these smartphones. Because we have the internet on the computer, on the laptop. Now we have the internet on our smartphones, which is basically in our pocket. In our pocket, we have the Quran, we have the Sunnah, we have the Hadith, We have history, we have seerah, we have salawat on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have nasheed, we have qasaid, we have America, UK, politics, history, geography, biology, nudity, obscenity, porn, everything in one gadget that we hold in our pockets. This is why this is a major, major challenge. People don't talk about this issue. It's a double-edged sword. You know, Allah said in the Quran about alcohol, وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ alcohol and gambling. قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. There's harm and there's a lot of benefit in both. Even in alcohol, there's some benefit. Alcohol sanitizes. there's benefit in the alcohol as well. There are some benefits. That's why for medication, we use alcohol. It's not absolutely harmful. But Allah said, وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِ. The harm outweighs the benefit. This mobile phone or these smartphones that we have, it's exactly the same. It's got benefit, it's got harm. Now, I don't know if I could say that the benefit is more than the harm, or the harm is benefit than the more than the benefit. It depends on the individual. What I am thinking now, in the last few years, that I'm thinking more to the point that there's more harm in this than benefit. There's more harm. And I will mention some of the points that we need to really think about. And that's why each individual, we must think to ourselves, and especially with our family members, with our children and people in our family, that is it more harmful for me to use the smartphone? And when I say smartphone, social media, there's Facebook, there's Twitter, there's Instagram, there's Snapchat, there's even YouTube and WhatsApp, all of this included. Is it more harmful for me and my family, or is it more beneficial? If I feel that it is more harmful for me, then it is sinful for me to own a smartphone. I need to abandon it. I need to just use this normal Nokia phone that we used to use. People still use. I know two people. I don't have too much like friendship with a lot of people. I don't interact with too many people, but still I know two people. There's one student in our madrasa in Leicester. I always tease him. He took out the other week. You know, he's got a nice small Nokia phone. Just phone and text message. Still, until now. And I know a brother who's actually a doctor. He lives, Dr. Zakaria, Brother Zubair knows him, lives in Manchester. Until now, he doesn't use a smartphone. He's a doctor, a GP, a practicing GP doctor. If I need to go online, he says, I'll go at night, start the computer, and online if I need to do something, but I don't need no WhatsApp on my phone. So this is an issue that we really need to think about this ourselves. Is it more beneficial or more harmful for me? Now, in order to, because, you know, if something, look, there is a lot of benefit. Like I said, it's a double-edged sword. There is a lot of benefit. But the principal qaida of Sharia, which is based on the text of the Quran and Sunnah, is that daf'ul darar awla min jalbil maslaha. Repelling harm, daf'ul darar, awla is more important, is given great significance, is given preference over jalbul maslaha, acquiring benefit. So if there is something in which there's benefit, but there's more harm. Anyway, now we need to look at it. Is it harmful for us or not? There's a few points, and I've put them into like 6 points. I don't know if I can cover all these 6 points. But point number one, and I want everyone to take these points into consideration, reflect upon them, and think about them and ponder over them. The first point is that one of the greatest issues relating to social media specifically, and generally being online, but social media specifically, is the issue of addiction. There's a massive issue with people being addicted with social media. It's called a drug. It's like a drug, you know, the dopamine in it. People sometimes start going online, and especially social media, they'll be there until 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. The night goes. People are deprived from sleep deprivation. they are not able to work productively during the day because they were on their phone. I was just hearing the radio in the car. Well, somebody was saying that they were talking about corona disease, and there was somebody who said that, look, you need to just be normal. You know, all the normal good things you need to do in your life, do them. Eat well, healthy diet, healthy eating, sleep well, which means charge your phone in another room. I just heard that now. Do not have your phone in the bedroom while sleeping, because people, whilst they're sleeping, they'll be there, and then before you know it, it's midnight and 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. So this addiction is a big problem. How many hours do we and our children spend on social media, on WhatsApp, just scrolling down, message after message after message? Much of it is junk. Families don't talk to one another. We're sitting at home, everyone's on their phone. The young son is on the phone, the daughter's on the phone, the wife's on her phone, the husband's on her phone, everyone's on their phone. This actually creates problems within family relationships. Marriages actually break down. You know, I've got another talk where I've talked about reasons for divorce, why the separation and divorce occurs. And one of the reasons is extreme addiction with the phone. Extreme addiction. Marriages break down. This is why I personally suggest that every household should have a gadget-free, tech-free zone. 2 hours. And the first person to off the phone should be the two people, parents. Before telling our children, we need to show them. Phone is off, not silent. Off, put over everyone's phone on top somewhere. Every gadget, laptop, computer, iPads, phones, everything should be completely switched off. You can still live, still survive, don't worry. It's not, you know, fatal. Maybe just if you have a landline phone, just keep that on, so if somebody wants to call for some reason, then they can call, like we used to in the olden days. Just completely, 1.5, 2 hours, there should be technology free zone. Talk to one another. If not, read a book. Do something else. Use the brain. Sometimes Allah has given us brain. Why are we thinking what people want us to think about? Sometimes contemplation, let our own minds think about things. Whilst we're on the phone, we are forced to read about things and think about things that people have forced us to think about. So, this addiction, constant chatting, especially on WhatsApp, constant chatting. Men, women, sometimes you just think, 2-3 hours of chatting. Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam, how are you? Good, alhamdulillah, what's happening? Everything good? What's happening? This. What are you cooking? Biryani, how was the biryani? Okay, it's good. Have you put something in it? This. It starts 3 hours of conversation. If we took all of that 3 hour of conversation, print it out on a, you know, just print it out on a paper, and pick the phone up, and talk to someone, you'll finish that in 20 minutes. That 3 hour of back and forth conversation. If you speak on the phone, we need to speak to people. Pick the phone up. Assalamu alaikum, how's the evening? 10 minutes. Good conversation. Alhamdulillah, put it down. Sometimes these WhatsApp messages, they just continue. Groups. People are creating groups for no reason. No reason whatsoever. Absolute wastage of time. This addiction is also going against the Islamic principle of preserving one's time. Constant chatting. Sometimes, like, there's groups and someone's phone beeps, beep. So, okay, I'll see you at 5 o'clock. The person telling, I'll see whoever, the other person, I see you at 5 o'clock, it's not you, there's two people talking. I remember once somebody's phone in the family, beep, see you at 5 o'clock. I said, where are you going? Someone else, it's not telling me, it's telling someone else. I said, why do you need to know them? I'm on the group, so why? If a group is something where someone puts a message that is relevant for every single person, and every single message should be relevant. I'll see you at 5 o'clock is not relevant for you at all, so why are you in that group? The wastage of time. Every time you have to think and look, okay, who's talking, what they're saying. So this goes against the basic principle of preserving time, and we know the Quran and Sunnah is filled. I don't have time to go into all the ayat about time and value of time. Wal asr inna al-insana lafi khusr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath by time. Wal ladhina hum 'ani al-laghwi mu'ridun. This is all laghw, futile. I think I gave a talk here, engaging in futile activities. So we need to really think, are we addicted? And one thing I will recommend here is that we should manage our usage of social media. So set a time. Even online, but social media specifically, set ourselves a time. I will use 1 hour of my day for social media, which includes WhatsApp, Facebook, Twitter, or whatever. 1 hour. Think beforehand how long and what you want to do. Beforehand, we need to think how long. You know, when we plan a journey, we think beforehand how long it will take us and where I want to go. You don't go in and sit in a car and put the engine in on and start thinking, now what shall I, where shall I go? So we go on and then we think, what shall I do? No, beforehand. This is why the people who are very particular about their time, what they do is, they will have a fixed time every day. Half an hour is my time where I reply to all the text messages and all the WhatsApp messages. The great scholars do that. They'll have like half an hour in a day or half an hour in 2 days. So exactly at that time, they'll go through everything, what's important, fixed time. So this is one of the tips that we need to use. Manage time, fix time, and know what we're going to do. So addiction is a massive problem. To the point, and last issue with this first point, is that sometimes we are working in the workplace, we are using the internet. We are looking at our messages. It's a question from an Islamic point of view. I actually have a whole article which I've written, a fatwa, and it's online. Using, serving the internet during work hours, is it halal or haram? If our job is just to sit in a place, just be there, like you're a job, you're a call assistant, or someone who's just sitting in the office and you just have to pick the phones up, then it's fine, because when the phone, someone rings, calls, you pick the phone, you just have to sit there. So if you're not doing anything else at that time, you can surf the net. But if you have to actively do some work, and we're not doing that, and we're surfing the net, and we don't have permission from our manager or boss, then it is actually haram. Basically, we will have to monthly give back from our wages the time we've used surfing the net. It's a basic rule of Sharia. Because they are paying us for the work we need to do. And if we've spent, so we should think, half an hour of this month, I've probably replied to messages. Our great scholars used to be very particular about that. They used to monthly give back. These are scholars used to teach in the subcontinent and other places. Give back some of the salary every month. Maybe somebody came to talk to me which was not relevant to my teaching. So I spoke to someone in my time where I was supposed to be doing something else. Every month they used to return some wages back. So this is being cautious about time at work as well. So this was the first point. We need to think that, are we really getting addicted or not? And if there is an addiction, then it's a problem and we need to ensure that we don't get addicted to this usage of social media. Number two, second point. Like I said, I've got about 5-6 points. It's a common issue and problem, and as everyone knows about this, is protection of the gaze. There was a time where anyone, if somebody wanted to see obscene images, haram images, nudity, they would have to go out of their way to do it. They would have to hide and do it. They would have to go somewhere, hidden places, to buy some video or CD or something to see nudity. Now, at the click of a button, whether you want to see it or not, even YouTube, it's just full. Sometimes you're typing something in Google and by mistake you typed something else and something else comes up, images. Nudity, seeing haram, And we know this is a massive sin of the eye. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. Casting lustful gazes, looking at the awrah, the body parts of another member of the opposite gender, and lustfully looking at nudity, it's a major haram. It takes away the barakah of iman and the spirituality and the light. It brings darkness into the heart. It brings darkness in our activities. This is a major, major haram. Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. But look, the same ayah, the first point was from وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ, those who stay away from futile activities. And then Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ, those who give zakat, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ, those who protect their private parts, إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. This indicates because once the eye is accustomed to, gets benefit and pleasure from obscene things, then it results in haram things. So that's why the zina of the eye. Actually, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Bukhari, he said, zina al-ayni an-nadhar. The zina of the eye is to look at obscene images. Wa zina al-yadi al-batash. The zina of the hand is to touch. Wa zina al-udhun al-istima'. And the zina of, he said, zina of the ear is to hear to obscene things. وَزِنَ الْقَدَمَ الْمَشِي, and the zina of the feet is to walk towards that haram. وَالْفَرْجُ يُصَدِّقُهُ أَوْ يُكَذِّبُهُ, and then the private parts actually at the end will finish off the task or may not finish off the task. That's a simple translation. يُصَدِّقُهُ أَوْ يُكَذِّبُهُ. So some people might just restrict to the eye zina, but then they will not go all the way. And for some others, it will lead them to go for the full zina. So this is really, really important. This is why some of the scholars have said that if we don't feel that we can protect our eyes, then it is sinful to own a phone, a smartphone. One of my teachers, Sheikh Mufti Taqal Uthmani, hafidhahullah, he says this quite a bit, that if it differs from individual to individual, if an individual thinks that I can't trust myself, Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا, don't even get close to zina. The classical scholars, they've derived the ruling, and the mufassirun and the muhaddithun, that وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا zina means that anything that leads a person to zina, you have to block the means to the haram. سَدُّ الذَّرِيعَ, you have a principle in sharia, blocking the means to an evil. So whatever that means is, that's why Allah said وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا zina. If zina is here, then you stay far away, far away. So this could lead to the zina of the eye and actual zina. And therefore, if someone can't control themselves or they don't have, they don't feel confident about themselves from looking at images which they should not be looking at, then they should avoid using social media and online. Anyway, that's point two. Point three, the next few points are really important, is that especially with social media, people start developing these virtual relationships. Virtual relationships. You know what this means? I mean, I've looked at these things before as well. I've talked about these issues and studied these issues in quite detail. Virtual relationships, we are now seeing young people who are growing up not having the attributes or the qualities, or basically we're seeing young people now growing up not having the confidence to talk in person with people. Skills. The skills to have a real in-life relationship. They've become timid because they've grown old from 15, 16, 17 having these virtual relationships. It's a big issue. Social media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, because people chat, talk, and they start building this virtual relationship. There are people who develop friendships from different parts of the world. There's people who've become husband, wives virtually. People have become boyfriend, girlfriends virtually. People, they cuddle virtually. They sleep virtually. They eat virtually. I don't know if you guys know all of this. There's people who, like, they'll live a life in a virtual dream world. They will send, you know, emojis virtually. So when they see an emoji, that's more attractive to them than the real smile of a person. The fourth point is actually connected. The other day I went on to Google just social media causes. Just to see. Depression, anxiety, stress, mental health. And it is not just Google, but it's really many articles have been written on this topic. Social media causes all of these problems and worse. Loneliness, sleeplessness, as I said, because of addiction, but causes mental health issues. You know, one of the biggest problems right now, one of more than coronavirus, brothers and sisters, an epidemic or a pandemic or whatever you want to call it, is mental health issues. For the last many years, I've already delivered talks on mental health issues previously. I remember once I went to Dublin 2 years ago, at the Royal College of Surgeons. There were students from all over the world, but a lot of them come from different countries. And they wanted me to deliver a lecture on Islam and mental health. And the reason was, they said, on campus here at the university, we have a massive issue. So many Muslim brothers and sisters, they feel depressed. These are people like 21, 22, 23. Depression, the rate of depression and anxiety within people, it's huge. There's many reasons for that. And then even after the talk, I mentioned a lot of points, and after the talk, a lot of people came and, you know, talking one-to-one, asking different issues, and someone's got this issue or that issue. And I really think this is one of the most common illnesses that we find today. Mental health. It's a big issue. One of the main reasons for mental health is the usage of the internet and social media specifically. Because I mentioned the third point, because you've become minded, your life has become virtual. So it's all in the mind. And then when we are on social media, people are comparing lives. Images, pictures, videos. Why isn't my life like that person's life? That's why it's not good to upload pictures of you, your family, the food. Why do people have obsession with uploading pictures of food? I seriously don't understand that. A small baby, a child is born before, you know, even adhan and iqama is given in the ear, they're on social media. Allah said, adhan, iqama, the sunnah is adhan, iqama, bathe the baby, you know, like come into the world. Before even that, snap, selfie. Actually, it's a question if that's even allowed or not. I'm not saying it's not or it is. I don't know. You need to ask and look into this issue. To take a picture of someone without their permission, and they can't give permission because they're not invited. Like, do they really want to be in front of the whole world? You know, few hours month baby, few hours old baby. Young children, their pictures, I don't know if it's allowed. Because they do not have the capacity to give permission. So all these pictures, people are comparing lives. They'll see, you know, a couple eating, you know, me and my wife, we went and, you know, we're having a real nice meal, and everyone say, oh, mashallah, oh, amazing, such a cute couple, oh, everyone, and then someone's got jealousy, and someone's got, and then, but they're putting that picture. After that, they went home and they had a big fight, and the husband punched the wife. They didn't put that picture up. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what's going on. Everyone's life is different. Never, I say never compare, not I say, it's in the hadith, but never compare our life with anyone else's life. Never compare your marriage to anyone else's marriage. Never compare your house to anyone else's house. Do not compare your wife to anyone else's wife. Do not compare your husband to anyone else's husband. And never compare your children to anyone else's children. Every human, every child, every husband, every wife is different. Allah has made us all differently. Inna ma'al usri yusra. At the end of the day, this is a taqseem of Allah. In some areas, you have good. Some areas, you have difficulty. In those areas, they have difficulty. It's a taqseem of Allah. So this causes mental health issues because people are just talking about and taking snaps of only the good bits of their life and not the negative bits. So you think that, you know, then the wife comes to the husband and says, look at my friend, her husband, they're in Dubai, like, you know, you never take me to holiday. But what happened, you know, in Dubai they had a, you know, big problem, and then after that he hasn't taken her for 5 years. So these issues, comparing lives with people, you know, this is taken from the hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, it's in Sahih Muslim, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, "Unzuru ila man huwa asfala minkum." In the world, look at people who are below you. "Wala tanzuru ila man huwa fawqakum." Those who have been given more wealth, etc. Don't look at their lives. فَهُوَ أَجْدَرُ أَلَّا تَزْدَرُ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ. You will more likely be thankful and grateful to Allah. Look at people below you in life. Look at people who have not been given the wealth or the health or the ni'mah and the bounties. All this homeless people. Sometimes go with your children and just go and talk and sit down with the homeless people. Just walk past them. If you see a homeless people, if you've got young children, take them there. I've done that with my children, you know, once or twice. Sit down and say, look, sleeping on the floor, let's sit. So, okay, what do they do? I said, talk, ask. So sitting with homeless people, thinking about people in the prisons, people, this is what makes us thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I remember my son once asked, we went and sat with a homeless person just outside, and in the middle of the night, it was raining one of the nights, so he started thinking, he asked me, he said, you know that person, that old man we saw, is he still sleeping there where we met him? I said, yes, he's still sleeping there, but he was somewhere on the streets. This makes us thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a hadith in Sahih Muslim. And actually, there's another hadith in the same chapter in Sahih Muslim where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, he says that, because in the first hadith he said, look at people below you, do not look at people above you. But sometimes it's not possible. We just, without us wanting to look at people above us, they just come in front of us. Suddenly we're just driving and you see a Ferrari, Porsche. We didn't go to look at them. We didn't go and see who's got a Ferrari and then, you know, just keep on being sad about it. The Ferrari came to us. So the next hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Muslim, he said, if you happen to see someone, if you happen to see someone who has been given more, مِمَّنْ فُضِّلَ عَلَيْهِ فِي الْمَالِ وَالْخَلْقِ, if you happen to see someone who's been blessed more than you in wealth and in health, فَلْيَنْظُرْ, then go and seek out, straight away go and look at someone else whom you've been blessed over. فَلْيَنْظُرْ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ أَسْفَلَ مِنْ. This is in Sahih Muslim. So this is why social media and the online, it makes us ungrateful to Allah, because we are comparing our lives, we are comparing the lives of other people, we are comparing our marriages and with the marriages of other people. We are looking at, look, happiness, this is a topic on its own, but happiness and tranquility and peace is not in what we have materialistically. I'll end with this point, with this. There's two things. One is raha and asbabul raha. Raha means happiness, peace, comfort. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub, tranquility. This is raha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made certain asbabul raha, means of happiness. Means. So if you have money, it's a means of a bit of tranquility and comfortable life. If you have family, you have health, these are means. But these are two separate things. You might have the means, but not tranquility and happiness. You might have means and the tranquility. You might have both, or you might have the means, not tranquility, or you might have tranquility and not the means. Three situations. You could have both, or four situations. You could not have none of the two. How many situations are we understanding this? You have the means of happiness and happiness. Okay? You have the means of happiness, but no happiness. You don't have the means of happiness, but you have happiness. And the worst is, you don't have the means of happiness and neither happiness. فَهَذِهِ صُوَرٌ أَرْبَعَةٌ. Four situations. You know, once I was in Denmark, the brothers, we were eating, and one brother said that there's a survey that's being published that the happiest people in the whole of Europe live in Denmark. The happiest people live in Denmark. This is a survey, a researcher did a survey. People are very happy and people are very tranquil and prosperous, etc. Another brother, at the same time whilst we were eating, he said, look, I just read another report that the rate of suicide is in Denmark and Norway, the most suicide is in those countries. So, one saying happiest people and then suicide. This was about many years ago. I was there with one of my same teachers, Sheikh Muftitaq Uthmani, Allah, he was sat there as well. So they were telling him and all of us, so I asked him, I said, do you think that there's some explanation for this? What do you think? So he said, it could be, you know, I don't know. But if both reports and surveys are correct, then what comes to mind, Allahu A'lam, is that one report is talking about the means of happiness and one survey is talking about actual happiness. When there was a report saying that the people in Denmark and Scandinavia, whatever, are the most happy and prosperous, they looked at jobs, cars, houses, properties, they looked at all of that. And the suicide one is telling you real happiness, that people are not happy. So they've got all the cars and everything, but they're not happy. They're still committing suicide. They're still getting depressed and anxiety and stress and all these issues. So this is really, really important. Point number four, that social media has a direct impact on our mental health. Especially, our women. It's so difficult for them. People have body image issues. Society, media generally, and social media specifically has put so much pressure. You have to look this way, your eye has to be that way, your nose has to be 3 inches this way, your lip has to be that way, your body has to be this way, you have to be this skinny or this slim or this figure or this size. This is all artificial. That's not real beauty. And men make it difficult for them as well. Because they're looking at other things and they want their wives to be like that as well. Real beauty is in the soul of the person, how they talk, how they converse, how they are as a human being. That's the real beauty. Not, when you get old, your wife will have wrinkles and your husband will have wrinkles as well. Then what are you going to think about? People get old. Real beauty is that's why in marriage we need to attract ourselves to the real beauty of our spouses. If we do, then we'll still be in love when we're 75 and 80 and 90. But if we attract ourselves to the external beauty, then the love will go away because you're not really attracted to the being of the person, the soul, the character of your spouse. So a lot of the women have these body image issues, comparing, I don't look like this way. And that's why there's so much pressure on selfies. And the selfie is crazy. I didn't know about this, but then I found out that there's all this picture filters. Like, this is what I want to look like. So I'm not happy. So many filters, the light of the color of the picture, and I don't know what the filters are, but so this is like, I wish I looked like this. So I'm not happy how I look in real life, but I'm just living in this imaginary world. Again, back to the same point, the second or the third one. Virtual life, virtual relationship, virtual image. It's just a crazy place to be in. Okay, point number five, that was four. This is a really important point. One of the most important aspects of our deen that we will be questioned about on Yawm al-Qiyamah is the issue of how we use our tongue. We all know sins of the tongue. The Quran says, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Every letter, مِنْ قَوْلٍ, every statement, every word that we utter, there's angels recording it. They are recorded. We will be questionable on Yawm al-Qiyamah regarding everything we say. This, and there's lots of verses of the Quran and many hadiths, I don't need to go into them, But remember, this statement is not just a verbal statement. This is not just referring to what we say. Imam al-Bukhari says in the last chapter of, you know, the Sahih al-Bukhari, بَابُ قَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَنَضَعُ مَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطِ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَأَنَّ أَعْمَالَ بَنِي آدَمَ وَقَوْلَهُمْ تُوزَنَ. Just like our actions will be weighed on يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, our speech will be weighed as well. We'll be questioned about speech. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تَقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Every قول. Now this قول, this statement is not just what we say, it's even what we write. And actually writing is more dangerous, because when we say something, we've said it, it's gone. Disappeared. It's gone. But you can't keep on hearing it. You swear at someone, it's still haram, verbally, but it doesn't mean you're still swearing. When you write that swear, until that thing is written and remains written, the sin continues. If it's something good, the opposite is also true. You write something good, until that's written. There's a hadith that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, that whoever sends blessings on me in writing, I'm not too sure of the authenticity of the chain, but it's mentioned in the Fadail, so it's okay. In a book, whoever sends blessings on me in a book, Allah's mercy will be on that person continuously, ma damat maktuba, as long as it's written. That's why when we write, we should write sallallahu alaihi wasallam fully, not SAW, like so what. Yeah, it doesn't matter, take time out. Or write the translation, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. How long does it take? Write the full. I've never used this SAWS. Write Allah Ta'ala, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, write it fully. Even Assalamu Alaikum, we should try to write it fully. Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi Ta'ala wa Barakatuh. Every word we're writing, we're receiving, that's a positive way of using WhatsApp and, you know, text messaging and whatever. Every time you write Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi Ta'ala wa Barakatuh, so much reward, because it's written, it stays there. That's the positive usage. So write it fully. Before, I used to copy and paste, you know, when I used to write articles and books. And so every time, you know, because in one paragraph you're mentioning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 3-4 times. So I've got Allah, may Allah bless him and grant him peace. So it's paste, you know, copy and paste. But then I realized that, and I heard someone, one of the shuyukh or someone, that how much reward you get, etc. And I thought, look, you know, so every time I just type it now. It takes a bit longer, but I won't copy and paste it, even if it's in the same paragraph. Radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him or her. May Allah have mercy on him. So every time, the full typing. That's a positive way. It'll take a bit of time, but this is a way of receiving reward for something that's written. So we will be questioned about what we write. A massive issue. On social media, the biggest problem is people swear, slander, use obscene language, hurt people's feelings more than they do in real life. You know, basically, you know what social media and online is? What we used to think once, in the olden days, what we used to think, we now write. Listen to this carefully. In the 1980s and the 1990s, if you were alive, what you used to think, so you're standing in a queue, and somebody came and pushed in, in your mind you're thinking, what kind of, you know, you swore in the mind, but you never said it. Controlled. Someone, you were driving and somebody drove, you know, in a real, you know, bad way, and, you know, nearly had an accident or overtook you and was driving not carefully, and you might swear because you're by yourself in the car. But a lot of the things we used to think now, because you're sitting, you're with people, but you're not with people. It's a weird world you're in. You're virtually with people, but you're not physically with people. So people now will, because if you said that to someone on their face, you get a punch. There'll be consequences. Here, there's no one. You're in your house, you close the phone, still in the room. I mean, yeah, there's no one. Is the brother here? No. People will swear, slander, they'll just talk, you know, gossip and garbage. Even in Islamic discussions, swearing, slandering, this sheikh this, and this group this, and that one this, and every letter we will be, every word will be questioned about on Yawm al-Qiyamah. One of the scholars used to say that before any letter, word, statement, sentence you say with your mouth or you write, think to yourself that I will have to prove this on Yawm al-Qiyamah in the court of Allah. Or you may have to prove it in this world. Do I have the evidence, what I said? Will I be able to prove this? This is why Imam al-Shafi'i radiallahu anhu, when someone used to come and speak to him, he used to look down and then respond after a while. Somebody asked Imam Shafi'i, why do you do that? He said, حَتَّى أَعْرِفَ أَنَّ الْخَيْرَ فِي الْكَلَامِ وَفِي السُّكُوتِ. I contemplate and think, is it better for me to talk and respond, or is it better for me to stay quiet? So all these sins of the tongue, lying, you know, swearing, slandering. And it's easier when people make anonymous accounts. This is now on the wider, even within the non-Muslims. Some people have multiple Facebook accounts, multiple Twitter accounts, multiple accounts with fake names. They call this trolling. Troll. Yeah. Someone committed a suicide or something. There was a woman or somewhere I heard in the news. That's just one. There was somebody else I read that they committed suicide. Because why? People are racist online. There was a whole discussion once that there's racism. I said, I was thinking to myself, and I said to some of the students, that this, because people have, internally, they're always racist. But they used to just think about it. When there was no online, the racism was in the mind. You looked at someone, and even the best person was trying to just pretend not to be racist, still in the mind is racist. Now, when you have a phone and no one knows who you are, then you will write it. So people swear, slander, say so many different things online, which are very, very difficult, very problematic. So these are all sins of the tongue. Point five, sins of the tongue. Another major issue to do with sins of the tongue, still point five. Okay? So we mentioned point five, slandering, swearing, you know, hurting people's feelings, saying bad things about them, fighting, arguing. But there's one big issue with social media in terms of the sin of the tongue. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. It is enough for a person to be called a liar that he relates everything that he or she hears. Any news we hear, we forward it on. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that basically you will hear truth and falsehood, but your habit is to just put everything forward, everything forward. This is a big issue. What's up? Forward, forward, forward. You will be considered, you are a liar basically. It's a sin of lying in forwarding everything without verification. There's another hadith, بِئْسَ الْمَطِيَّةِ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, بِئْسَ مَطِيَّةُ الرَّجُلْ زَعَمُوا. The worst, like a thing for a matiyya, means like markub, like your thing that you take a journey on. But what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to refer to is that something to rely on. The worst thing people rely on is they say, za'amu, people have said. So people, they don't want to lie, but they think, okay, let me just say, people are saying, so I've taken the responsibility. This is backdoor lying. They think that, you know, if I just put it on the shoulder of someone else, people have said that such and such person committed fraud. People talk about the whole world, he committed fraud, and he was cheating, and he was deceiving, and this person did this, and this person did that. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, if that person comes to us and says to Allah, he called me a fraud, and he said I cheated, and I, you know, ate money up from the company or whatever, this is what he did. We will have to bring evidence on Yawm al-Qiyamah to prove in the court of Allah. The excuse that, oh, I heard, someone sent it to me on WhatsApp, so I just sent, no, it's my responsibility. The Quran says, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. One of the greatest responsibilities of a Muslim is whenever we find news, we have to verify the authenticity. That's why, honestly, I urge, when we receive all these messages on WhatsApp, do not forward them on. Until you do your research. You know, people, everything about even these viruses and about someone puts a video and it just goes viral and, oh, there's one person in Kaaba, there's no one there and everyone, you know, majority of the time it's all falsehood. Forwarding these things on, sometimes we do it in a right spirit because we think it's Islamic. It's still haram. We are committing the sin of lie. We are lying. Spreading, you know, rumors. The Quran also mentions about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُمْ مِنْهُ. That, you know, what used to happen in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mushrikeen of Mecca, they used to try to scaremonger. The enemies of Islam, they used to try to scaremonger. So they used to go to the simple Muslims and tell them, you know, your enemy is the kuffar, the mushrikeen. They have got so much energy and power and might, and they've got this, and they've got this many swords and this much. So some simple sahaba used to get scared, so they used to go into another one, you know, they've got this. So suddenly, one to another, rumors used to spread. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ. When something about amn, peace, or awil khawf, or fear comes to them, أَذَاعُوا بِهِ. They just start spreading it. Don't spread it. Allah says, you know what your responsibility in this situation is? وَلَوْ رَدُّهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ. Go and get it checked by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's your leader, or people, أُولِي الْأَمْرِ, other companions who are close to him. If someone receives the news, the basic message is, go to the people, experts. Someone sends you something, medicine, eat this and this will happen. I'll check with a professional doctor, not Google doctor. Don't forward. You know, on YouTube, people, everyone likes to make money. This is all money-making industry. I personally dislike, I don't know if you guys do that, if you do that, I ask forgiveness, to have adverts on YouTube videos. Completely dislike it. I'm not saying it's haram. Especially Islamic videos. People making money out of Islam. You want to go and listen to a Quran, nasheed, or a lecture, and the lecture, the sheikh who's talking, he's saying, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha." Some music comes up straight away. Like, what's going on? Halfway through the surah, ayah of the Quran, there's a half-naked woman dancing. This one brother said to me, I went online to listen to a lecture about halal income, and suddenly the ad came out about gambling. His brother told me this. You know, we have Islamically, those people who have Islamic channels, it's basically you have a right, you don't have to have ads. I'm sure you don't have to have ads. We don't have it in our Darifta channel. You don't have to. If you want to make money, then yes. So people use Islam, you know, get clips of famous scholars, etc., make a channel, and then make fancy titles, and then put an ad, so they want to make money. If you want to make money, make it in a halal way, in a good way. This online YouTube adverts, especially in Islamic channels, I think the money you're making is, if the adverts consist of gambling or obscene images or advertising alcohol or anything, then that money is haram basically. It's filthy, haram money which must be given away. So anyway, I was saying about this ayah of the Quran, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ. Go to the experts and verify. So this is one of the most important issues with the usage of social media. When we find any message, do not forward them on until we do not verify its authenticity. تَثَبَّتُوا تَبَيَّنُوا أَيْ تَثَبَّتُوا. Another form of misuse of the tongue and another form of lying, exaggeration. It can happen verbally, especially online, because people spread rumors, things spread like wildfire online. Exaggeration. There was something small and someone added a bit of masala to it and, you know, this and that. Again, one of my teachers, same teacher, Mufti Tahmani, once was mentioning that once he was ill. He said, I was normal, you know, just at home. ill. So somebody found out that he was ill, so he put a message out on WhatsApp that Sheikh is ill. Somebody added very, so then this message started going very ill. Then somebody said extremely ill, so they added extremely. Then he said, somebody thought to himself, if he's extremely ill, then he must be in hospital. So then the message started going on that Sheikh is in hospital, make dua for him, make dua. People do it with the right spirit, but again, we need to know what's halal and haram. It's not just being with the right spirit. You can't steal with the intention of giving it to the poor. So this is a right spirit, it's good intention. That I want everyone to make dua. Everyone on Facebook, Twitter, Sheikh is extremely critically ill. He said, I had a normal flu, and people were sending him messages, critically ill. And then there were messages on Facebook, Twitter, that the Sheikh has passed away. The Sheikh has passed away. Where is the janazah? Now this happens because people are not what? They're not verifying. If someone said he's ill, do not forward that message anywhere. You know, the reason behind this is that people have the spiritual disease to be unique and be the first one. It's a spiritual disease. Yeah, look, I'm the first person I found out that there's no one going for Umrah. I'm the first person with this video, unique. This is a spiritual disease. We want unique names for our children. We don't want nice names, we want fanciful names, even if they mean bad meanings. If it's fanciful and good meaning, fine, but Anbiya, names of prophets, names of Sahaba, we want to be unique. No one should have the same name that I give my daughter. So you just say no one should be human anymore, because she's human. Want to be unique, nobody should be like me, I should stand out. So this prompts people to start spreading, exaggerating and spreading news and things like that. And then backbiting is also a sin of the tongue, which is a major haram, backbiting. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. We know the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, false accusation is a haram, which we will have to prove in the court of Allah. But even if something is true and we're talking about someone, the Sahaba asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is ghiba? Well, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْغِيبَ? Do you know what backbiting is? They said, اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمْ. Allah and His Messenger know best. Then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَى. You mentioning anything about your brother or sister, what he or she dislikes. So the companion said, O Messenger of Allah, what if that person has that bad quality that I talk about? He said, if he has that bad quality, then that is what's ghiba. Because if he doesn't have that bad quality, فَقَدْ بَهَدْتَهُ, then you've falsely accused them. This is false allegation. So ghiba is when you talk truth about someone, not in their presence. They would dislike you to say that. How many messages on WhatsApp, on Facebook, on Twitter, we are talking about the world. Even a kafir generally, you can't be ghiba. You have to be very careful with every word letter. So anyway, this was point number 5. I'm coming to a complete end in a few more minutes. Usage of the tongue, which means how we write, what we write, swearing, slandering. So we need to make sure when we are online on social media, whether Facebook or Twitter or WhatsApp or whatever we are on, ensure we don't swear, we don't slander, we don't hurt people's feelings, and we verify news, we don't exaggerate, we don't forward anything on without finding out the authenticity of it. Point 6, the last one, and maybe 7, I might mention just 1 minute. Point 6 is inconvenience to others. This is a big issue as well. We have WhatsApp. I've talked about this before. People add you to groups on WhatsApp without asking permission. I don't know if that's allowed or not. I don't think it would be allowed. I wasn't on WhatsApp for a long time. Everyone had WhatsApp. And then people saying, why don't you be on WhatsApp? Why don't you? I don't need it. Then finally, I gave in, I had to be on WhatsApp. You have to sometimes, because when the world's moving forward, you have to, you can't stay back. But I've got a big, status. Please do not, and not in capital letters, N-O-T. Do not add me to any groups without permission. Anyone who does, I'll just block that person. And alhamdulillah, I'm just part of one group. No, two groups, sorry. And then it's inactive groups mostly. It's only really important. One is all the teachers in the madrasa, and one is another group. Just two groups. Just don't want to be in groups because it's just garbage sometimes. It's just, you have to scroll. How much can your mind take? Information. You know, some people are in like 10 groups. I just can't get how some people can be on 10 WhatsApp groups. Is there more people here or more? Like 10, 15, 20? 30, 40, 50? It's crazy. It's like constant connection. You want peace in life, you know, just relax, put your phone away, spend time with your children, with your spouse, at home, you know. Mind needs to get a rest. Why do you need to know all of this, what's going on, and you know, this, just forget it. It's just, give your mind a bit of peace. Simple life, peaceful life. The less you have gossip with people, the better life and quality you have. So, this adding people on groups without seeking their permission, it's not allowed. People should ask permission first. And the other way of inconveniencing is to broadcast messages. You know, people add people just every 2-3 days. They send, now I think you can only send to 5 people in one go or something or WhatsApp, but a message broadcasted to everybody. It's like every 2-3 days. It's not relevant to me. Have you asked my permission? If you haven't, it's sinful. There's one person who was sending so many messages, tomorrow this is happening, living in another city, talking about things happening, okay, in our madrasa this is happening, in our school this is happening. I'm not part of your school. Like, I have to keep on looking at my phone to know that you've called the students at 10 a.m. What am I going to do from Leicester to come? And then sometimes some people, oh, it's Thursday today, recite salawat. I know it's Thursday. I'm like, dude, okay. Messages, this hadith, that hadith. Sometimes, half the time, sometimes the hadith is not checked. Who knows what's true? Whether it's something that statement is true or not. So that's verification. But constantly broadcasting messages and sending it to people. If we want to, we should ask permission. Say, look, okay, send a message first, Assalamu alaikum. Do you mind every 2-3 days I'll be sending, you know, messages to you? If you're okay, then send. If not, we need to seek permission because people use sometimes WhatsApp as a phone, like text message. So you want to just receive messages which are relevant to you from friends, from family, not just, this is not that's why I never use WhatsApp generally to, you know, send these kind of messages. For that, you can have an official, like a Twitter account or a Facebook account where people themselves have subscribed to it, they've joined, they want to get notifications. You know, in the olden times of emails, I think now there's a law as well, that people just send you, keep on sending emails, you have to unsubscribe. No, you should be subscribing, not you have to unsubscribe. This is Islamic principles as well. So this is a very important issue relating to social media in terms of causing inconvenience and harm to people. That was point 6. And lastly, point 7, it's a topic on its own, but just briefly, we have to be very careful. On social media, there are specific special accounts created by the enemies of Islam, by non-Muslims, to groom young Muslim children and eventually make them atheists and leave Islam. They are in the name of Islam, they are in the name of, you know, Quran, in the name of Sunnah, many accounts. They will start presenting Islam. In the beginning, they will, you know, say that, you know, first they will say things like, you know, they'll say good things about Islam. But they will try to prove in light of science. They'll brainwash the young Muslim into thinking that anything that is proven by science is correct. So they will say, look, the Quran is also, this is what the Quran says, but also proven by science. The Quran, the Sunnah says this as well, also proven by science. Look, so the mind is now made to believe that anything which logic and science confirms is correct. Which means that if something is not confirmed by science and by technology and by modern research, which is also made up man-made, because brain, intellect is also man-made, but if it's in the Quran and Sunnah, then like it could be wrong now. That's how the mind. So then they go on to the next step. How is it possible? You know, all those issues that create doubt in the iman of a Muslim. Bringing about Dajjal, bringing about the descent of Isa, peace be upon him, talking about the age of Aisha radiallahu anha, talking about polygamy, all these controversial rights of women. Slowly, before you know, your child who started, you gave them this nice, very good smartphone, has become a very non-smartphone now, because this phone has taken your child out of the fold of Islam. There are young people I've met and come across who've become atheists by using this phone. They've become atheists. This makes people leave Islam. This is why it's really important. I personally feel, it's not a ruling or anything, but it's just a personal preference, that until our children are at least 18, 19, they should not own their own smartphones. 18, 19. I think 19 is when they should have their own smartphone. Before that, they should not have a phone. I personally feel that. Seriously, there are many harms associated with this. People get involved in relationships, they get bullied, there's abuse, there's porn, there's addiction, there's virtual relationships. We don't know what they're doing in their bedroom, in the phone, in the middle of the night. They're chatting for 4 hours with somebody. You could be anyone. You might have a daughter who's 13-year-old talking to a 45-year-old man who's presenting himself to be like a 15-year-old boy. No one knows who's who. So they have these phones and chatting to people online. And then, like I said, they could even leave Islam, and may Allah protect our children and us, inshaAllah. I'll end with this. Jazakallah khairan qul qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I don't mind. If you want 5 minutes, if there's just one.
Does anyone have any questions?
Can I speak, if you want, about the health of the iPhone, please? Just a quick.
Just questions, please.
Just a question?
Just any questions.
Okay, comment?
Questions? Any questions?
No, I have comment.
Maybe afterwards, comment. Is that okay?
No, I agree with everything you say.
Okay. She wants to probably add something to. Okay, if you make it brief, inshallah.
Yes. About swearing inside us when somebody bypass us or somebody in the queue. It should be even inside. We should not swear.
Yeah, of course.
So this is another level, and this is called emotional intelligence. Even if somebody face me, block my car, angry about with me, and I try to be very peaceful with him, and by this character he will change and then apologize. This is a comment.
Yes, very good comment. No, this is a point, of course. I wasn't saying that you should swear in the mind. No, we shouldn't. Definitely, we should try to have sabr. So, jazakallah khair for that addition. If you remember the 6 points again, point one, addiction. Point two, zina of the eyes. Let me ask. Point three,
the virtual relationship.
Jazakallah. Four,
zina.
Time.
That was the first one. Time, addiction, number one. Protecting the eyes, two. Number three, virtual online relationships, three. Four. Let's see who was making notes and who was writing. Four. Mental health issues. Five was the long one. Sins of tongue and writing, all the different parts of that. Swearing, writing, ghiba, writing about slandering, spreading rumors and forwarding stuff. That was number five. Number six? Last two.
Inconvenience
to others. And last one.
Children are next one.
Yeah. Children being groomed into leaving Islam. So these are 7 points that...
We have a question from YouTube. Alhamdulillah, I think we've got over 30 views and the families. Children get attracted towards these social media tricks. What way can we adapt to let our children understand the severity of these issues? They don't take it seriously.
Children don't take anything seriously. Children won't take study seriously. Children won't take, studying, working hard, nothing seriously. They're children. Children are children. Their brains are, we don't expect a child to take something seriously. So the point is that the parents have to take it seriously. We are the guardians. We have to be strong. Even if our children, cry, or if they, you know, we have to be nice and gentle and polite in the way we do tarbiyah, but we still have to be strong and firm. If it means no, it means no. Time for you to use phone or your gadget or whatever to play games. Saturday, at this time, you get 2 hours. They look forward to it as well. Sunday, this many hours. You know, be disciplined at home with children. It's all. We can't just say, look, oh, they don't listen, so like, I can't. That's why your parents, Allah's making, this is the reason Allah made his parents. Parents comes with responsibility, and you have to take time out to look after them and protect them, inshallah. And make lots of dua for them as well.
So how cautious should we be when we're forwarding messages which we think are beneficial? So if we see a message which has a hadith which you've heard of before in their talk, for example, but then you're not sure if the wording is exactly correct and if the quotation, like the Bukhari and which ayah, etc., you're not sure if that's completely correct. Can we be forwarding those, or should we, how far should we check if that's authentic?
It's good to check, but some things you can tell that, look, it's a common hadith that you've heard many times and everyone knows about it, and the wording's there, and if you look at it, that it's properly given reference and things like that, then inshallah, it should be okay. If it's just the ayah of the Quran and hadith and things like that, ayah of the Quran, you can easily, you know. Yeah. But if it isn't like that, if there's slight doubt, then it's best to check.
Yeah.
This is just Quran and hadith, but where we have to be more careful when it's other things, like someone some information about something else, something happening in the world, or someone saying this thing's happened or that. In those issues, we really have to be careful. Before forwarding, I think we really need to verify the authenticity of what's being sent. And there's no need to forward. Save us the hassle time and save everyone else the time as well.
So, you mentioned about giving phone to the pupils when they're 18 or 19 years old. Issues we have in general, I work in school. Normally, the student is 13, 14, 12 even. Even the some people in the primary school, they already have the smartphone. So if you have a child and you want to delay the phone, let's say someone goes to his school, everyone else around him got the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that like really difficult?
It is.
And I heard from another person as well, like the people, they delay the phone for too long and the person already had a phone and is hiding from the parents. So the time they figure out, they just said basically, they admitted that it's their fault because everyone around this person already had a phone and the girl or boy was hiding from the parents. And so is it not like creating
They had a phone, they bought it themselves, or how did
The parent didn't know how the girl got the phone. So she was hiding from the parent for a long time. When she's 16, somehow I think she went out somewhere, they figured out the phone is at home. But before that, she had the phone for long, at least 1 and 2 years maybe. The parent had no clue. Because the parents are too strict, thinking, okay, I wouldn't give my phone to my daughter or son, but she got phone somewhere. So in that scenario, not going to happen to every time, but for us specifically, like how to deal and how delay we should delay. And
this is with everything, peer pressure, not just the phone, but generally when everyone has something and you stop your children from having it, they, you know, will want. I remember when I was growing old, we've never had TV in my house. My father's a sheikh, and you know, very old, old school. Never, no TV until today. We've never, in his house, never ever had a TV. So I hadn't seen a TV screen, what's in a TV, until I was like 13, 14. I used to hide and try to go to my friend's house, and sports games used to happen, and you know, I got caught once, and my father got angry, you know, to just watch a bit of football. This was in the late 80s, when I was growing up. Never, like, TV was haram. That was the fatwa given by the scholars in the olden times. Now it's like TV. If the TV is haram, this is haram. But classically, all our scholars in the Arab world and everywhere, they said having a TV screen at home is absolutely haram because there's more harm in it. So it's a challenge. No one can be perfect. I think what you need to do is sort of balance it with a way that, look, give them alternatives. So maybe at home, have games, maybe have a phone that you can use. Here's the phone. This is not your own phone. This is a phone. Whatever you want to be like, but in our presence, there's games on it, play, whatever. Let them play certain things, but then you have to give the phone back. Use it for this many hours. So then it's not something they've never seen. Because if they're not seen, then al-insan harisun amma muni'an. Like, a human being is eager to see that which he is prevented. When there's a barrier, then they want to see it. So give them a phone, but not their own phone. Not that they sleep with a phone. And the father and the parents, mother and father both, we have to be tactful, and we have to be clever. We have to be one step ahead of our children. You know, children are very clever. Even online, they will see things. They'll have passwords to them. There'll be a folder there, say technology folder in there. They'll have some passwords, and there'll be other technology. The way they hide things and stuff. So that's why parenting in itself is a challenge, massive responsibility. And parents have to be always one step ahead than their children. Before they know what the children are trying to do, you already know. You're ahead of them. It's a game. You have to be ahead of them in that game. You have to be smarter than them. The problem is when children are more smarter than the parents, that's when the problems occur.
That's the norm. That is the norm.
Mm.
I mean, if we think that we are smarter than our kids, then we're fooling ourselves. The kids nowadays, specifically due to technology, they're clever.
Yeah. Because from a young age, they can use the phone and everything.
You know, I mean, my youngster, it's like a year ago when I used to be showing him, he goes, "Dad, you know, but you don't know what you're doing. Come give me the phone, let me show you how to do blah, blah."
That is
a norm. Mm. So I think the challenge of dealing with addiction is, I don't think we have a clear, easy answer.
Yeah,
I don't.
We don't.
We do. And I think this thing about delaying it, you know, I've tried that myself, and then it brings all sorts of issues into the family. We really need proper guidance on this. I mean, I don't see an easy solution to this. I think we, at the Shuhukh, we seriously need to get together on this, because I don't think any one of us here, as a parent, if we're sincere, no way of dealing with this.
There's no clear, it's not like one solution which we work completely, definitely not. I think what else with this is that parents themselves have to set an example. That's very important. You know, if our children grow old, when they're young, and they're 7, 8, and they see us always on phone, they come to talk to you, and you just message them. They'll say, they'll pull it. My daughter pulls my beard if I've got the phone. She's like, talk to me. Like, why? I'll say, my phone's gone. Okay, you can't talk to me. When she comes, I'll say, I'm pulling the phone off. Give full attention. If they grow old and keep on seeing the parents always engaged on the phone. So that's why the Quran says, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. If you want to encourage your children to pray, you have to pray yourself. The greatest form of upbringing is like self. So I think we have to be very careful as well. And then also maybe, I think, addition to that, when they grow older a bit, have this conversation with them. You know, reason with them, explain to them why it's bad. Like, when I tell my children something which they're not supposed to do, I say to them, I'm not your enemy, I'm not hating you, I'm not doing this because I hate you and I don't want you to, you know, enjoy yourself. I could just go away and let you do it. I'm not getting any benefit from it. I tell my son, he's 11 years old, I said, look, I'm making you pray and sit down for this, and you need to do your homework. I could just go to sleep. I'd be more enjoyable. It's been more enjoyable for me to go to sleep. But I am making you do this before you're good. And you'll remember me later. And then he thinks, and says, okay, actually, then he'll do it. So sometimes having a conversation, reasoning with them, telling them, look, this is not because we want to stop you from something good. There's, you know, suicide rates are going on. I mean, to the level of what age they are, of course, you know, you can't explain all the details to a 10. So based on the age level, explaining things to them also help.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا إنك جامع الناس اليوم لا ريب فيه إن الله لا يخلف الميعاد. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم اشفنا واشف مرضى المسلمين. اللهم اشفنا واشف مرضى المسلمين. اللهم اشفنا واشف مرضى المسلمين. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما أسألك منه عبدك ونبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه عبدك ونبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاء، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، آمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين، ورحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.